In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance conversation this morning, and great to be with all of you. And as we start off our conversation, I'd like to ask Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, we call out to Mary in the beautiful prayer of the Hail Holy Queen. And that is, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So today, let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to be with us in a very special way. Be with us in a very special way as we pray the prayer that Mary loves most. And that prayer is, of course, the Hail Mary. So together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. And our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Among the many wonderful titles for the Holy Spirit are the following. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, he's known also as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Soul. What a beautiful title. The Holy Spirit is the Sweet Guest of Our Soul. The Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. So as in our interior master, he's the one that teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to pray. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Because as St. Augustine says very clearly, he who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. So let's pray the traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit, begging for a lot of light and the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So, my friends, as always, I promise that I'll be praying for you, praying for each and every one of you, and for the following intentions. I'd like to pray that all of us, placing you all on the altar, because by far the greatest prayer in the world is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, place you on the altar and beg for the following graces. First, that we'd be open to the Holy Spirit. If you like, the word docility is possibly the best word, to be open and docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And during the course of the day, we can pray this short prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention would be, I'd like to pray for all of you as mothers and fathers and some of your grandparents, that you would assume your responsibility as being the primary teachers of your children. Primary teachers of your children are not the teachers, nor the politicians, nor the social analysts, nor the psychologists. The primary teachers of the children are you, the parents. And that means, as parents, it's incumbent upon you to all make a really concerted effort as parents to grow in your faith. To grow in your faith, I would say, on a daily basis. And that's one of the purposes of our Perseverance Family Conversation, is to get to know the Word of God, but also to try to apply the Word of God to our own lives. That's right, to try to apply the Word of God to our own lives. To our own lives. In my last intention will be with you to place on the altar that which is very pleasing to God, that is the conversion of sinners. And not only the conversion of sinners, but especially the conversion of deathbed sinners. This very day, throughout the world, many people will die. The most critical and most important moment in our lives, by far, is the moment that we will die. And how we die will determine our destiny for all eternity. It will be either salvation or damnation. There's only two possibilities. Either we're going to be saved for all eternity, or we'll be lost for all eternity. In other words, the stakes are pretty high. Let's pray that those who are dying, especially those who are dying not in the state of grace, that God, through Mary's prayers, would give them a last chance so they could open up their hearts and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, poor sinner. Lord Jesus, I love you. To die with those sentiments in their hearts. That'll be our third intention. So, my friends, today I'll show you what we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be celebrating this. Today we're going to be celebrating the exaltation of the Holy Cross. As I lifted up the cross for you, that's exactly what we celebrate today. The exaltation of the Holy Cross. Here's another depiction, Jesus carrying his cross. So here are two artistic depictions, the cross of Saint Benedict. Here we have Jesus carrying his cross. There's really very much that can be said about Jesus on the cross. So what I'd like to do with you today is I'd like to invite all of us to go underneath the cross. Here we have the cross, underneath the cross. And invite you to try with me to do an Ignatian contemplation. To go beneath the cross and to create the composition of place. What was it like? Who was present there? What was going on? What was the conversation that was going on at the foot of the cross? And I would like to speak about, as we contemplate the cross, speak about the reality of suffering. Because suffering is part and parcel of being a human person. We all have to suffer in our lives. Suffering in and of itself is something that's really neutral. It depends upon how we interpret suffering. As I've said before, suffering can make us either better or bitter. That's right. Suffering can make us either better people or bitter people. So, why don't we go to the foot of the cross after Jesus says, carry the cross, then he is nailed to the cross. And when he's on the cross, he's surrounded by a lot of people. Some people are indifferent to him. Some people are apathetic toward him. Some people hate him. Some people are rejecting him. But also at the foot of the cross, he has three of his best friends. Who are the three of his best friends? They would be Mary Magdalene, who you see at the foot of the cross, actually hugging the cross with her disheveled hair. Then standing at the foot of the cross is his best friend. His best friend is St. John the Evangelist. Then at the foot of the cross also is his Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows. It's interesting, today we celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross, and tomorrow we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows, who stood at the foot of the cross. So as we stand there at the foot of the cross, with the Magdalene, with Mary, with St. John the Evangelist, let's lift up our gaze to Christ. And let's listen to what he's going to be saying to others as he hangs on the cross, and these words of Jesus are directed to you and to me. So what does the Lord say? These are the last words that Jesus will say, and we might even call it his most eloquent sermon from the pulpit of the cross. Let's go through some of these words of Jesus, short phrases, you might call them sentences, and let's see, what is Jesus really saying to the whole world? What is he saying to you and to me? So you might utilize the method that I've taught you over the past couple of years. Listen, read the Word of God, try to memorize. What is the general understanding? What is the personal understanding for me? And then, how can I apply these words to my own life? How can I apply these words to my own life? So, let's jump in. From the cross, Jesus says these words. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Now you've probably heard those words before, but let's try to go in greater depth as we celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Gospel today is taken from John chapter 3, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless the Son of Man is lifted up on the cross, he will draw all men to himself. In the first reading, the Jewish people rebel and the serpents bite the people and they die, and God tells Moses to make a serpent, put it on the crotch of a tree so that whoever looks at that will be saved. And Nicodemus makes a reference to this to Nicodemus, referring to Jesus elevated on the cross. So, first word of Jesus from the cross would be, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Let's try to get the whole impact of this. Now, Jesus has sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has been brutally arrested. Jesus has been dragged almost like an animal. He's dragged to Pontius Pilate. He's unjustly judged. He's been scourged at the pillar. He's lost much blood. He has been mocked. He has been spat upon. He's been smacked. He's been punched. And they've placed a crown of thorns on his head. That whole Thursday night, he's at the mercy of these torturers, these executioners. Then he's made to carry the cross. Carrying the cross, already exhausted, he falls beneath the cross. He gets up more than once. then when he makes it to the top of Calvary, he extends his hands and he's nailed to the cross. He allows his feet to be nailed to the cross. Then the cross is lifted up and it's placed in a hole in the ground. And there, as Jesus hangs between heaven and earth, he gives to us and to the whole world his last homily. So that's a context. That's the context of Christ hanging from the cross. So his first words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. In fact, really what we have here is a very true, concrete manifestation of the mercy of the heart of Christ. That's right. A true, concrete manifestation of the mercy of the heart of Christ. Of the mercy of the heart of Christ. Of the mercy of the heart of Christ. After all he suffered, the first thing he says is, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. How can we interpret this for us? In many ways. First way I think we should apply to our lives is that we are all sinners. We're all sinners. However, where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. We're all sinners. Excuse me. We sin, but as we contemplate Christ on the cross, when we sin, let us repent and beg for God's mercy for ourselves. I repeat, let us beg for God's mercy for ourselves. Beg for God's mercy for ourselves. Beg for God's mercy for ourselves. So when we sin, let's turn to God and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of living God, have mercy on me, poor sinner. And not only should we beg for mercy for ourselves, but also let's get in the habit of begging for mercy by means of having recourse to the sacrament of confession for ourselves. For ourselves and for the whole world. Okay, not only that, but we should beg God for mercy, but also when we've hurt other people, we should try to get in the habit of saying these two difficult words. I'm sorry, another two words, forgive me. I'm sorry, forgive me. Very difficult to say those words because of our pride. There are couples, especially when you got a kind of a macho man, they've been married for many, many years and he's never said I'm sorry to his wife, even though he's failed his wife thousands of times. And that's machoism, and that's pride. But there's other things that can be said. Not only should we beg God for forgiveness, not only should we beg others for forgiveness, but also when others do come to us, maybe a family member or friend, if they ask for forgiveness, then we should try to forgive right away. In fact, when I do marriages, I do weddings, I'll often say in my homily, these are the three most important words you have to say. I love you, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Easier said than done, huh? I love you. I love you, I'm sorry, I forgive you. I love you, I'm sorry, I forgive you. That's all related to humility and is related also to mercy. And also the Bible says not to allow the sun to go down on our anger. Especially applicable in the family life. If you have a quarrel or fight with some family member, make sure that you reconcile. That you reconcile before you retire. All of this, my friends, is related to Jesus hanging on the cross and Jesus saying, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. There are many biblical verses and examples in the lives of the saints. But a very clear biblical passage that's parallel to this, Jesus saying, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing, is the Our Father. The Our Father is divided into seven different petitions. In the Our Father, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's right. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's right. So forgiveness is a two-way street. And Jesus also, of course, gives us an example. And sometimes, my friends, it happens that we don't forgive and we don't ask for forgiveness related to this innate pride that we have, which comes as a result of original sin and personal sin. And living with this resentment is going to cause within us two different things. Depending if we're an extrovert or an introvert. It can cause within us anger and bitterness. Or it can cause anger which we swallow turns into depression. So it might be both. We're both depressed and angry. Because we haven't forgiven. Let me tell you a story. Story I heard years ago. I heard quite a few of these homilies by Father Clifford. Father Clifford is an Irish Franciscan priest. And I really like this story because this story really illustrates our message. He said that on one occasion there was a there was a funeral. And the funeral was an Irish funeral in Ireland. And during the Mass, there was the coffin where the dead body of the person was placed. But during the course of the Mass, right next to the coffin, there was an elderly man that was inconsolably weeping the whole time. Basically a sea of tears. Sea of tears. So after the Mass, the priest went down to the man and offered his condolences and said, I offer my condolences. Was this man a relative of yours? And the man says, yes, he was my only brother. The priest said, well, I'm really sorry. But the man wanted to unload. He told the priest, you know, Father, we were not talking for 50 years. And I was planning to reconcile with him, but he died before the reconciliation took place. Priest went on to ask him, with discretion, this question. Well, what was the cause of the conflict and the division between you and your brother? And the man, shrugging his shoulders, said, I don't even remember. I don't even remember. My friends, how often has it happened that we have quarrels, discussions, exchanging of bitter words, and we don't even remember why we're fighting, like cats and dogs? So I'd like to give another biblical expression. And what we're doing, my friends, if you're just tuning in, today we celebrate the exaltation of Jesus on the cross. Here we have a Benedictine cross that I have in my studio that I'll sometimes show to you. What we're doing is we're trying to do an Ignatian contemplation. We're going to the foot of the cross with Mary Magdalene, with John the Evangelist, and with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we're lifting up our gaze as we contemplate Jesus who is exalted on the cross. As Jesus hangs on the cross, we're contemplating him with great love, compassion, and devotion through the eyes and the heart of Mary. Through the eyes and the heart of Mary. Through the eyes and the heart of Mary. So here's another biblical parallel passage, and this you might even connect with the liturgy. Jesus says this, that when you go to offer your gift at the altar. Jesus says, if someone has some conflict against you, someone has something against you, Jesus says, leave your gift at the foot of the altar. Then go and be reconciled to that person. Then come back to offer the gift. What our Lord is saying is that before we participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, before we listen to the reading of the Word of God, before we receive the Eucharist, the sacrament of God's love, we should make an effort to reconcile with that person with whom we're at odds. I'll tell you another story that happened in my life as a priest. I've been in the parish with Father Larry for many years. Many years ago, before the new church was built, Father Larry called me in his office and he said, you know, there's a woman that, there's someone in the parish, a woman that you hurt in one way or another. And she has a certain resentment against you. He said to me, and I didn't really recall what had happened, sometimes we hurt people also inadvertently. We're not even aware of it. Especially if you're dealing with so many people in so many different circumstances. Sometimes you don't greet a person that person expect you to see, acknowledge, wave, smile. And sometimes it might happen because you're surrounded by a lot of people that you're not even aware of that. But anyway, he said that this person had a resentment against me. The person lived in Hawaiian Gardens. Father Larry had a new Bible that hadn't even been opened. It was still in the plastic covering, sitting on his desk. He said to me, here's the name, the phone number, the address of this person. I'd like you to go and why don't you give this person the Bible as a token of reconciliation. Honestly, because of my pride, I didn't want to go. One is because I was not even clear why the lady was angry at me. And second, because of my own pride, I didn't want to make that step. But given that as priests, religious, we make vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, it was incumbent upon me to obey my superior, and I was going to carry that out. So I got in my car, and I drove to the home of that lady. I parked my car, got out, I found the house, I rang the doorbell, and the lady opened up, and I said, you know, what happened the other day, how I hurt you, offended you, I'd like to apologize and reconcile. Here's a gift. They gave her this new Bible, and almost as if tears came to her eyes, she said, okay, thank you, Father. And we reconciled. And that anger, that bitterness, that resentment dissipated just like that. That was probably at least 25 years ago. That's right, about 25 years ago, probably. Maybe more. But let me tell you this. If I did not take the initiative, thanks to Father Larry's advice, if I did not take the initiative to go out of my way, get in my car, drive to your house, give her this new Bible that Father Larry had on his desk, and give this to this woman. Listen, probably 25 years later, to this very day, this woman would still be angry and resentful against me, and myself not even aware of it. And you know, my friends, anger and resentment that is not resolved will cause bitterness within. I repeat, anger and resentment and bitterness within will cause us resentment. Will cause us resentment, and that resentment is the parallel I like to give on a physical, biological level would be what acid is to the stomach, resentment is to the soul. Now, I know this about medicine. If you have a lot of fluid in your stomach, which is acidic, that can easily perforate your intestine linings, and that can form what are called ulcers. An ulcer can become a bleeding ulcer, and it can turn into cancer. So it is also with respect to unresolved conflict and resentment within our souls. If we don't forgive, we don't practice mercy, then we're going to be living with this resentment. That's why I'm focusing upon Jesus on the cross. Now, focusing upon the first thing he said from the cross would be, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I'm giving you a lot of parallel passages, especially the Our Father. We say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. My friends, it's not easy. My friends, it's not easy to forgive those who have hurt us. Let me give you one more example. Because this, the first word that Jesus says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing, very difficult. Very difficult because we all experience rejection, we experience indifference on the part of others, we experience coldness, we experience sometimes hostility, sometimes even animosity, all these negative things, we've experienced them in our lives. But we don't come to terms to them, they can wreak havoc within our lives. Okay, here's another example. In all these, this example I give is this person was able to do it because of Christ and his grace and the power of the cross. The power of the cross. And it's this. Back in the early 90s, in the country of Rwanda, there is a diabolical unleashing of what is called ethnic cleansing, in which part of Rwanda wanted to eliminate the other people of Rwanda that was from another tribe. You had the Hutu, the Tutsi, and the Twa, three different tribes, and they're, even with the help of the government, was trying to eliminate basically half of the people which did result in the killing of more than a million of the Rwandans. More than a million. In that, we have the case of Immaculée Ilibigasa. Immaculée Ilibigasa lived in Rwanda with her mother, father, and three of her brothers. And they were strong, practicing Catholics, in which the family was a family just united with a lot of love. So what happened was the enemies got a hold of Immaculée's family. And Immaculée fled. And she found refuge with about another six or seven young women that were in her tribe. In the home of a Protestant pastor, Pastor Mackenzie, that's right, found refuge in the home of a Protestant pastor, his name was Pastor Mackenzie. So the enemies pursued them, and they hid in the bathroom for many days. And the pastor pushed, it was like a big piece of furniture covering the bathroom door so that when the enemy did come, they wouldn't be able to ransack the bathroom and find the women there. And the enemies did come in. And the pastor allowed them to look through the house. And because of the furniture, they were not apprehended and put to death. Eventually, because of the French invasion, the racial cleansing stopped. And the man that actually killed the father, the mother, and two of the brothers of Immaculée Ilibigasa was detained in a French settling post. The man that had brutally killed the mother, the father, and two of the brothers. One of the brothers escaped to a neighboring country. And Immaculée would pray many rosaries on the missionary rosary that her father had given to her. She had the temptation that she wanted to kill this man. She wanted to seek revenge. Because the people that she loved most, her mother, father, and two brothers, were brutally, and I say brutally, murdered. So she wanted to go in to seek revenge on this man that brutally murdered her family members. But because she prayed rosary after rosary after rosary, she begged for the grace of forgiveness. And she actually sought out this man, found him in this settlement, and she stretched out her hand and she actually shook the hand of this man who brutally, mercilessly killed her mother, her father, and her two brothers. Immaculée Illibagaça Ramsey married a good Catholic who worked in the United Nations. And a few years back, in the Rose Bowl, there was a rosary rally in the Rose Bowl. And some of the members in our parish actually went to the Rose Bowl for the rosary rally. And who was there? Immaculée Illibagaça was there, and she was one of the keynote speakers. One of the keynote speakers in the Rose Bowl. In which she recounted her story, and given that the purpose of the encounter was to get people to pray the Holy Rosary. Is that she gave eloquent testimony to the fact that it was through the prayers of Mary, the intercession of Mary, and the grace that flows through the rosary, that she was able to forgive those people who killed her mother, her father, and her two brothers. So, my friends, as we contemplate Jesus hanging on the cross, and as we stand underneath the cross, we lift up our gaze from the cross. We contemplate Jesus hanging from the cross, this feast day of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Let us listen to the words of Christ, who says, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing." And relate the cross to the words of the Our Father. Those words are, "Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." There's an English poet who says, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." We are most noble when we imitate Christ. We imitate Christ in all of his virtues, but especially as we contemplate Christ on the cross. He spoke from the cross other times. But I'm trying to emphasize today the importance of the great love, compassion, and mercy of Christ as he hung upon the cross. This is also seen as Jesus hanging on the cross. He was surrounded by two thieves. One thief was on his right, and the other thief was on his left. And these thieves started to rail and to attack Jesus at the beginning. But because of our Lord's infinite love, mercy, compassion, and example, one of the thieves said to his other, "Listen, We're here for our crimes, and we deserve this punishment. But this man has done no evil. And building upon this theme of mercy, my friends, this thief, after rebuking his companion, says, lifting his gaze to Christ who hangs on the cross, he said, Lord, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, lifting up his head, exhausted, about to breathe out his spirit, says to the thief as well as to us, Amen, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And there we have the first canonized saint. The first canonized saint, my friends, was a reformed thief, murderer, and insurrectionist. Amen, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And he died a thief because he stole heaven. My friends, as we celebrate the exaltation of Jesus on the Holy Cross, let us beg today as we contemplate Jesus on the cross. We contemplate him on the cross. Let us beg that God will be merciful toward us. That God will show us his mercy. But also, that we will also be merciful to others. And to live out those two biblical phrases. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.